We're reading this morning from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. There are quite a few names in this section, and I can't say that I really know how to pronounce these names. But Paul knew, and Paul didn't just know their names and how to pronounce them. Paul knew something about each one of these individuals. Something he appreciated about each one of them. And more importantly, God knew about each one of them. God knew their names, and he knows your name this morning. There might be times that you feel like you are lost in the crowd or you're invisible and people don't notice you. But God knows your name. And he knows more than your name. He knows all of the things about you. And he loves you. Romans chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All that are able, let's kneel together in prayer.
I greet each of you this morning in the lovely name of Jesus. So good to see each of you. God bless you for being in God's house. We certainly rejoice today with Nolan and with Molly. It's a special day in your lives, and you have made the greatest decision of your life to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. To rule and reign there as Lord and Savior. God bless you, and never turn back. This morning, the message is entitled, Paul Shares Appreciation and Warning. Hardly knew what to title it, but that is what we have for a title. It falls on me to speak from Romans chapter 16, as a number of us agreed to do so over about a year and a half ago. Since about the middle of January 2018, ministers here at Pleasant Hill have been working their way through the book of Romans, a tremendous book, a tremendous complete book of doctrine. And this morning, before we get into Romans chapter 16, I would like to just review a little bit. I'd like to pull out a verse here and there. There are so many of them in Romans that I had to pass over many of them. But this morning, I'd like for you to share with me audibly the first one. If you would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I want the Lord Jesus Christ to hear this proclamation, and I want the enemy to hear it. And I want us to say it like we mean it. Do you have Romans chapter 1, verse 16? Let's say it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. God bless you. And as we go forth with that proclamation and with that mindset and with that belief and with that confession, the world is going to know that we belong to Jesus Christ and that we believe in Him and that we know that He is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we go through here, you might recall sermons that the brethren have preached. I appreciate the many powerful sermons that my brethren, my brothers in the Lord have preached the past year and 4 months. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in Romans chapter 6, there are so many verses here, we can't share them all. What shall we say then there in verses 1 and 2? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 11 of that chapter, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto Christ, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also verse 23 of that chapter 6 of Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Also in that chapter is one of my favorite verses, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Praise God. It's going to all be worth it, brothers and sisters, because glory awaits the faithful child of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I have heard Brother Jim Meyer refer to this as the TNT of the Bible. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11. I like verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. In Romans chapter 14, verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Our glorious Christian hope when we lay loved ones in the grave, at the end of their life. We know it's not the end. We know we have a Lord and a Savior who is Lord both of the dead and of the living. We will now enter into Romans chapter 16. What a powerful book of Scripture that we have here in the New Testament, here in Romans. Romans chapter 16, Paul shares appreciation. He shares his love. He shares his commendation. And he encourages the Romans to greet these people and to support these people and to embrace them for the love that they've had, for their labor of love that they have had in the gospel. As they have labored alongside the apostles and supported the apostles in their preaching. And I want you to take note this morning, as we go through Romans chapter 16, there are a lot of women mentioned. And Paul loves them, and they have loved him as sisters and brothers in the Lord. And he counts them very, very, very important in his life as he has ministered as an apostle. And the very first one, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Sister in the Lord. Paul refers to her as a sister. And take notice the first person that Paul mentions at the end of this long epistle, this letter to the Romans, the first one he mentions is a woman. And I would like to say this morning that prior to my wife and I going to our last week of meetings down at York Anna, we received a note from a sister from this congregation, and you know who you are, and I thank you this morning. That note meant a lot. God bless you. You were used of the Lord. You encouraged me and my wife. Thank you, sister. And you can do many good works in the body of Christ here at Pleasant Hill, and many of you do. And this morning, we thank God for you. And we praise God for you, for your faithfulness and your encouragement alongside your husbands and families, that we might all serve the Lord together. God bless you, sisters. And we're going to hear more about the sisters here in Romans 16. You're a great encouragement to us men, that we might be faithful in what God hath called us on to. The Bible says here that Phoebe is a servant of the church. Paul is able to commend this woman. In his judgment, she is of high, strong character, Phoebe. She keeps busy serving the brothers and sisters that are around her. What did she keep busy with? Well, maybe she was of the number of the widows. I don't know. She might have been. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work." I believe this was Phoebe. And that is why Paul starts out chapter 16 giving thanks and commending this sister to the Roman believers. This woman, this sister who was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. She was busy doing the things that count. She wasn't wasting her life. She was doing what God put in front of her. And she was active in the church, in her own God-given and God-called way. She served the Lord faithfully, and that is a challenge to each woman here this morning, to continue faithful in doing what God enables you to do. And God will forever bless your life for it. Women who step out of their place and do what God only asks men to do are never fulfilled. They are empty and they are frustrated with their life, even though they might do a great fake job of appearing otherwise. But these women that Brother Paul commends here this morning in Romans 16, They are women who have accepted their God-given place, and they are bringing honor and glory to God, and they are encouraging men like Paul to be faithful, even though he had many hardships. If a man or a woman is not busy with good activities, most likely they will end up doing things that are not good. And you continue there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And so women can either be busy doing good works, meeting the needs of the afflicted, encouraging those who are down, just doing every common everyday things that'll lift another's load. Or they can be idle and get in trouble with their mouth and tear down rather than build up the body of Christ. And so the choice is everyone's. By the way, women are not the only ones that misuse their tongues. Men can be just as big a sinner in the area of gossip. And in Romans, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and a whisperer, in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. The sin of gossip does not build up the body of Christ, rather it tears down. And it is a sin that is easily among us, and it's easily overlooked, and it's not spoken against very often, and yet it is a sin that God hates, because God wants his brothers and he wants his sons and daughters to be encouraged rather than torn down. It was not that way with Phoebe. She was too busy doing good to have time to gossip. She had an eye and a heart for those around her that had needs that she had the ability to help. And so she looked for those needs, and she saw them, and she acted on what she saw before her. Paul obviously recognizes the value and the importance of women using their abilities in the church, bringing comfort and help to brothers and sisters. And then the Bible says in verse 2 of our text that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. And so here we read Paul is encouraging the brothers and sisters at Rome, when this sister comes among you, assist her. Help her in whatever she's busy at. Because Paul is convinced that, and he has faith that she's going to be busy with those things that count. Not all have the eye. Not all have the ability to see quickly what needs done. But Phoebe does. She has such an eye for what needs done that she is going to need assistance to help her get it all done to the upbuilding of the church. And then the Bible says in verse 2, she hath been a succorer of many. And Paul says, and of myself also. Paul takes the time in this letter, he takes the time and the space in this letter, whom all ages after that would read this memorial of this woman, that she helped him also. And it meant a lot to him, so much that he takes the time to mention it. And that's the least we can do. When people help us, that we would take the time to mention it and be thankful for it and thank them from the bottom of our heart. A succorer of many, she hath helped many. That word succorer means she hath been a helper. She hath helped many, and she hath also helped Paul, and Paul gives her credit. Remember, men and women here this morning, brothers and sisters, when you serve and meet the needs of others, even the routine task of everyday life and being hospitable, you are serving Christ. And in Matthew chapter 25, at the end of that chapter, we're not going to take the time to go there, but when you read that, you see very plainly that when you serve others, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we fail to serve others, Matthew 25 also points out that we fail miserably in serving Christ. The church which is at Cenchrea, the first verse ends here in Romans 16, which is at Cenchrea. Cenchrea is a small seaport town just to the east of Corinth. Probably the church of Corinth is here called the church at Cenchrea. Probably. They may have been meeting at Cenchrea because of the opposition that they experienced in Corinth. Now we'll let Phoebe behind here, and hopefully you sisters are really encouraged by the life and the testimony that Paul remembers here of Phoebe. Verses 3 and 4, we go on here, and Paul mentions a couple. He mentions a husband and a wife. And it's interesting, he mentions the wife first. Usually the husband might be mentioned first. And as we see the accounts in Scripture of Priscilla and Aquila, sometimes Aquila is mentioned first, but other times Priscilla is mentioned first, as here in our text. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Paul mentions her. Obviously, she is another virtuous, honorable woman along with her husband. And I get the idea from Scripture that Aquila and Priscilla were a dynamic couple for the Lord and for the church. They were both energetic, ambitious to do what they could do to build the kingdom of God up and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul is sometimes accused in this modern day by feminists of being against women, maybe even being a woman hater. He is accused of that, but Paul is very thankful for the women. And it's very clear here in Romans chapter 16 that he is. The first two people that Paul mentions in chapter 16 of Romans are women. And he tells the Roman Christians how much they meant to him, how much they mean to him, how much they have done for him, how valuable they have been to the church. And so are you this morning. My helpers in Christ Jesus, he refers to Priscilla and Aquila. My helpers in Christ Jesus, they were very helpful in Paul's ministry, and he does not forget them. He does not forget their contribution. And one example of how they have been helpful in Paul's ministry is in Acts chapter 18. We have a man of God who hath been teaching and preaching. His name is Apollos. He is a Jew. And I want to read here for us this example of how Aquila and Priscilla aided the ministry of Paul here in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came into Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. This man was doing a great work for the Lord. He was well versed in the Old Testament Scriptures. He knew them. He knew how to share them. But he only knew the baptism of John, the Scripture says here. Notice verse 26. And he, this man Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him onto them, they took him aside in private, and they expounded, they explained the Scriptures in a more full and a more accurate way onto him. And the Bible says that they both did it. Aquila and Priscilla, in a private setting, helped this man Apollos to more fully understand how things had progressed, the wonderful revelations that God hath brought forth since the baptism of John, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and with fire. And they aided this brother Apollos. That is one example of how they helped, how they were helpers in Paul's ministry, as it says there in verse 3 of Romans 16, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. It's amazing what gets done behind the scenes, but God sees it all. He sees every little task that nobody else knows about, and he knows it, and he records it. His eyes are there. He beholds the evil and the good. Keep doing good. Keep encouraging the brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you will have your reward. God will not forget one bit of it. This man, Apollos, hath been advanced further yet in his ministry because of the faithfulness of Aquila and Priscilla. It says in verse 4, who have for my life, and this is referring also to Aquila and Priscilla, who have for my life, Paul's life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. When it talks about laying down their own necks, I can't help but picture the old chopping block growing up as a boy, and you laid the chicken down on that chopping block. Its neck was laid down, stretched out on that chopping block. And it was ready to die so that somebody else could eat. That's how Aquila and Priscilla treated the Apostle Paul. The life of the apostle was more important to them than their own life. They laid down their necks. That is, they laid down their very lives for the sake of the gospel, and that this man Paul might be spared an untimely death by the angry mob who hated him and his preaching and his Jesus. They laid down their necks for the Apostle Paul. We're not sure of the particular incident that Paul may have been referring to here. Paul was definitely in much danger in Corinth while with Aquila and Priscilla. And Aquila and Priscilla, I believe, protected him. I believe they sheltered him. I believe they hid him. They allowed him to live with them. They basically took him in as their own. In Acts chapter 18, we read about it a little. Acts chapter 18, verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. We see in verse 18, and Paul after this tarried there yet a little while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And so they were working in the gospel together. And when the hard times came, and when the dangers came, it was Aquila and Priscilla bearing their own neck, putting their own lives on the line so that this great apostle to the Gentiles, so that his ministry might be able to continue. Are we willing to lay down our lives for the brethren? Do we love one another? Paul is full of love here in Romans 16. He's just bubbling over with love. And thanks. He so appreciates these brothers and sisters who have labored in the gospel and have helped him in his ministry. And he shares that again in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus. And by the way, I'm sure Brother Jeff got these names better than I will, but let's not worry about that. Who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Epaphroditus or Epaphroditus, depends where you put the accent. My well-beloved, that is the point. With love in his heart, Paul speaks words of kindness and appreciation to yet this another brother. He says here that this brother is the first fruits of Achaia. Paul's ministry there at Achaia, Epaphroditus is one of the first to embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the first that was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is salvation to all them that believe. Verse 6, he mentions another woman. Greet Mary. You Romans, I want you to greet Mary. I want you to embrace her warmly, because she bestowed much labor on us in our ministry. Another woman that Paul takes time and space to mention, because she faithfully served Christ by laboring much to support the ministry. Mary, like the women mentioned before her, loved much, and much labor was a result of that love, enabling Paul and others to be all the more free to share the word of God. Verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Matthew Henry is a very old commentator, and he mentions that some actually considered these two men, but others consider that this was a man and a wife, Junia being a woman's name. And Matthew Henry says the Greek would certainly support that. I don't claim to understand all that, but it was no doubt a man and a woman here, a husband and a wife. Here in verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, Paul is saying I was related to these. And my fellow prisoners, they experienced bonds like I did myself. And maybe he was even in prison with them. And maybe that's where he got to know this brother and sister, I'm not sure. But here are more people, a man and a woman, whom Paul takes time to mention because he appreciates their contribution to his ministry, to the building up of the Church of Christ. Bible says here, who were of note among the apostles. That doesn't mean they were apostles. It doesn't mean that. It does mean that they were well known by the apostles. That's what it means there in verse 7, who are of note among the apostles. Not apostles themselves, but well known and well appreciated by many of the apostles, is what it means. And he says, who also were in Christ before me. Paul's not afraid to give credit for those who carried the Christian torch before he did. Paul getting saved on the Damascus Road the year after the Ascension. But these two, Andronicus and Junia, were already Christians before Paul. He clears that out in verse 7. Verse 8, we have Amphlius. Greet Amphlius, my beloved in the Lord. Yet another brother that he refers to as beloved. Paul is just bubbling over here with love. Love for the brethren, love for the sisters, those who have been faithful. Verse 9, Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Another beloved in verse 9. And another faithful helper. Bubbling over with love, respect, and appreciation. And I believe that's how the ministry here at Pleasant Hill feels. I know we do. So many good brothers and sisters who are faithful in the Lord's work. God bless you and ever keep you faithful and reward you. Verse 10. Salute or greet. When it says salute down through here, it's the same as the word greet. He wants the Romans to greet these people. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Wow, approved in Christ. That is a compliment. Obviously, this man was of high character, known for his integrity and sincerity and faithfulness. A man Paul appreciated because Paul knew he could count on this man. We might not know anything else about him, but Paul knew him, and Paul recorded his name here in Scripture because he appreciated his contribution. Aristobulus. Some think this to be the grandson of Herod the Great. But anyways, it mentions his household there in verse 10. And also in verse 11, Herodian, my kinsmen, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus. And so here we have two men mentioned, but their household is actually mentioned. Aristobulus in verse 10, which are of his household. And then verse 11, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Some people think these two men themselves were absent. Some think they were maybe dead. Others would say that these two were unbelievers. But this mention here is because there were those in their household, possibly simply servants, who actually embraced Jesus Christ. And Paul finds it expedient here to mention them. It's incredible how many names Paul mentions as he ends this epistle to the Romans. The brothers and sisters do not go unnoticed to Paul. He doesn't believe in people falling through the cracks, and neither do we. And God help us where we have failed, and help us to do better in appreciating every brother and sister, every member of the body of Christ who has a part and is important in making the body full and complete, that the word of God might be carried out completely and nothing would be let undone. Verse 12, there are three more mentioned. They labor in the Lord. Persis also labored much in the Lord. And Paul mentions them out of his appreciation. Verse 13, Rufus and his mother, apparently a godly woman, to receive mention here. And Paul thinks of her as a spiritual mother of his own. Maybe she cared for Paul at some point. No doubt she probably did. And he refers to her here as his mother. Even as he referred to Phoebe as his sister, he now refers to this woman as his mother, a spiritual mother. Much appreciated by Paul, this mother of Rufus, and in a sense, his own mother. Verses 14 and 15, many more are mentioned by Paul, including more women in verse 15. Paul mentioned quite a few women throughout this chapter. I hope you sisters noticed. He appreciated them as they supported the ministry with good works, with love and kindness and prayers. And I believe we have the same thing here at Pleasant Hill, and I thank God for each of you. Thank God for my godly wife and the godly mother that I had up to 2001. Verse 16, a holy kiss. Salute, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Let's not forget this commandment. And let's keep practicing it. It's a holy kiss. It's not sensual. It's not fleshly. It's a sincere kiss. It's not a kiss of betrayal like Judas gave Jesus. And then it says the churches of Christ salute or greet you. A unity among the churches that Paul was familiar with, maintaining the communion of saints. Verse 17, Paul totally changes gears here. So far, he has been mentioning this brother and that sister, and he is so thankful for them for their contributions to the gospel. Now in verse 17, he totally changes gears. He says, I beseech you, brethren, mark or note them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Here Paul goes from encouraging these brothers and sisters who have meant so much to him to sounding a warning. And notice he doesn't name these. He doesn't take up the pages of Scripture and the space here to name these, but he named all these others who did well. He's not naming these. He's just pointing them out that we need to be aware of them. He does not lord it over God's heritage. Paul does not, but lovingly he beseeches them. I beseech you, brethren and sisters. Don't completely relax because of all the wonderful brothers and sisters that are all around you. Don't totally, completely relax because when a church has brothers and sisters like you, Satan is not going to be happy. He's going to want to tear that down. And the way he does it many times is by working false teachers in amongst the good brothers and sisters. And so the warning here is don't relax. And don't just say, all is well because of all these brothers and sisters that I'm surrounded with. There are some who do not love the Lord Jesus. And they do not love and they do not embrace the way of truth. So don't relax completely here. But rather mark or note those who will cause trouble and bring division and offenses. It's not a perfect world that we live in. It's simply not a perfect world. So the warning is avoid these who cause trouble, who are divisive. In Titus, chapter 3, verse 10. We're given an admonition here concerning the heretic, which is, the word heretic means they're divisive. They split people, they cause trouble. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And so this is the warning that Paul puts out here after many, many, many commendations and praises for the good brothers and sisters. He gives this warning. The church must be protected at all times from false teachers and wolves who will enter unawares and devour. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but rather they are serving their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Some are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, even though the words line up. And we know all about that. The right words can be spoken, and this is how they're doing it. They're doing it by good words, smooth words, by fair speeches. They deceive the hearts of the simple, or they deceive the hearts of the innocent. Shun all unnecessary fellowship with those who depart from God's word. Those who are not holding to sound doctrine, they are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Though they call themselves Christians, they do not serve Christ. They are not promoting his kingdom, no matter what they pretend. They serve their own belly, the Bible says, their carnal appetites, the sensual, and their worldly interests. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Be aware, among a congregation of so many fine brothers and sisters, we need to mark them, and we need to be on guard against those who would pervert the gospel of Christ and not hold to the sound doctrine, the eternal truths of God's word. The method that these false, divisive teachers use is good words and fair or flattering speeches, deceiving the simple, the innocent. Verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Your obedience is known among the churches for your obedience. The devil and false teacher will target the church that is honoring Christ and his word. So Pleasant Hill, we better be on our guard. We never let our guard down against that false teaching that continues to try to get in where a lot of good is being done for the gospel and Jesus Christ is being honored as Lord and his holy word upheld. The ship known to be loaded with riches will be the target of pirates. And I believe that's how the enemy operates concerning the churches of Jesus Christ here in these latter days. Paul is glad on their behalf and will protect them from evil. Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. That's the greatest defense. Verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Clearly connecting with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. Genesis 3:15 is in view here. Satan is the enemy of the human race. He is behind all false teaching and apostasy. When the Roman believers free themselves from those that are causing error and division, they will experience what Jesus will experience when he defeats Satan for all eternity. Are the Christian enemies too great for you and I? Borrowing from an earlier chapter in Romans, are the Christian's enemies too great? And we say a resounding no this morning. And we read from Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 37. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So no, the enemy is not too great. Yes, the enemy is too great for our own personal strength and ability. But with Christ living within us, we have the victory, and in him we are more than conquerors. And the church of Jesus Christ will prevail, and we will be conquerors over all the forces of evil. And these good things will be able to continue to be said, as Paul has said them about so many of his brothers and sisters here in Romans chapter 16. Be encouraged this morning, as Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, has encouraged many by his words of Scripture, his many commendations, his many words of appreciation to the brothers and sisters. We do the same this morning, and we thank God for each of you. God bless you.
As the message was being given, I thought of all the different words that were used to describe these lists of names, and what I saw was a lot of different roles and responsibilities and giftedness. These are some of the words that were used to describe the individuals. Servant, that actually comes from the same word that we get the word deacon from in the Greek. And so you might say this person, Phoebe, was a model for deacons. Helpers, referring to people who come alongside. There's a reference to house church, and Priscilla and Aquila, who were teachers, they opened their home and started a church in their home. There is laborers, that is people who simply, you need a job to get done, you can count on them, they're workers. Fellow prisoners, that sufferers. Beloved, that would be people who are very good at relationships. Household, likely referring, as Glenn mentioned, to nameless slaves or believing children. Chosen in the Lord, someone who has a unique or an interesting testimony, or perhaps is uniquely gifted. Host, those who are given to hospitality. Kinsmen, people who recognize the value of family. First fruits, people who are willing to take the first step. Approved, people who've been tested and show proven faith. Through it all, we see woven the role of women and how women can serve in the church. And then there's warnings against those who operate in a different or a divisive way. And so we see the great variety in the church, but a warning is given that often heretics or false teachers try to come in as someone who has another idea and needs or wants acceptance because they're just one of the different people in the church. How we detect them is they're lacking sound doctrine, or what they do is dividing the church and not building up the church. And thirdly, their roles are self-serving and not serving others. I looked at all of that, and I saw that's a picture of the church working together. Let's all stand for closing prayer.